Thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. This week, as we get towards December, it's all about the C word.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Dan again. And this week we're talking Christmas radio. Lots more choice in the UK this year with Magic Christmas, Heart Extra Christmas, Signal Christmas, Pulse Christmas, Wave Christmas, and then online stations like Santa Radio and North Pole 100. And now Christmas FM, which has gone live this week in the southeast and the northwest of England. It's from the people behind Islands charity station that's been running for a number of years now. And we can find out more about it from Garvin Rigby, who's the co-founder and joint programme director of Christmas FM. Garvin, welcome to the Radio Today programme.
Oh, Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. We're getting excited for Christmas now. So you've just launched this week, 10th year you've been doing it in Ireland. For anybody here in the UK who doesn't know anything about Christmas FM, tell us how it started and what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, I suppose, happy Christmas. So obviously the first thing we kind of say all year round here is happy Christmas. We're all Christmas mad here at the radio station. So this is our 10th year on air. First year UK, 10th year in Ireland. We basically started in 2008 as a Christmas station. We decided to set up a Christmas station primarily as a station with a format to do Christmas songs. Everyone thought we were mad. Who wants to listen to Christmas songs 24 hours a day and nothing but Christmas songs? Nobody else is doing it in Europe. A few stations at that stage in the States had started a flip format from adult contemporary or hot AC to Christmas music, and they became number one or two in the market. I went, okay, great idea. Why don't we do a Christmas station in Ireland? So we decided to start off in Dublin. Dublin was our first launch, and then we did Dublin, Cork. Then we moved to all the cities in Ireland. And then in the last few years, we've kind of covered almost nationwide, like all the main regions, the main towns are covered. So we decided to do the Christmas station based on kind of like all good conversations. You know, everyone, a few friends of us, we met up in a bar. And we decided to do a Christmas radio station. So there's four of us involved, myself, there's Walter Hegarty, Paul Shepherd, and Daryl Sullivan. We were in the bar one night saying, we should do a temporary station. Why don't we do a temporary, or I think it's the RSL is what you call it there, type of radio station. So we're thinking about the different formats, and we just decided then suddenly to do a Christmas station. And we all clicked and went, yeah, let's just give that a go. So we started off and we've built it up over the last 10 years. And this is our 10th year in Ireland. And like I said, it's the first year doing a UK station.
So in Ireland, how does it work then? You've got a variety of FM transmitters kind of in the big markets. How does that work from a kind of regulatory point of view? Is it easy to get those licenses?
Yeah, so basically the BAI here, the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, issue temporary licenses. So we apply every year for a temporary radio station, for a temporary license to broadcast in FM. And like I say, in 2008, we started off in just Dublin, and then we kind of applied for licenses in different regions and different cities. So that kind of started off then. We've kind of built up every year. We've kind of added to our reach every year. Every year people ask us, oh, can we broadcast in your region? Can we broadcast in that region? So we kind of expand every year. We try to kind of, you know, push things further every year to kind of get a bigger coverage and bring the magic of Christmas to more and more people. So I suppose the way it works as well, sure, I suppose just to clarify to make sure people understand, the station itself is not a charity. We raise funds for a charity. For example, this year we're doing Sightsavers, which is a fantastic charity. We're doing Sightsavers for the UK and for Ireland as well this year. So what happens is the station is funded by sponsorship. So all the sponsorship plays for the transmission, it plays for all the equipment, the IT and all the bits and pieces. And therefore, when we raise funds for the charity, 100% of donations go to the charity. So there's no cost or expense for the charity. So we can stand over the fact that 100% of funds that are raised through donations go onto the charity directly.
And you've raised quite a lot of money, kind of, I think about €1.25 million in the 9 years you've done it.
Yeah, €1.25 million. I mean, every year it's gone up. Last year we raised €360,000 for homeless charity Focus Ireland. The year before that, we did it for Make-A-Wish. We raised €250,000 that year. So it's kind of grown every year as a station grows, as a listenership grows. Like, for example, last year we had, I think it was 1 million streams in Ireland alone. So that's almost a third of RTE, our national broadcaster, combined stations. So it's a very large reach. I mean, everyone here seems to flip over the station to Christmas FM during December.
And how do the other broadcasters get on with you? Do they lend you presenters to come on it, or is it a kind of no, they're not coming on your station.
Well, yeah, that's a difficult one. Some do, absolutely, but I can understand why some don't, because at the end of the day, we are another radio station. So I can understand that some stations don't want their presenters on because maybe the confusion about what station they listen to. Am I listening to the normal station they listen to, or what station am I listening to here? So I can understand that as well. Other stations take the view that it's great. It's you know, it's only for a month. It's kind of raising funds. Everyone gets the listeners back a month later. And also, we kind of support those stations as well because we allow those presenters from those stations to name check the station they've come from. So, for example, Radio Nova or Spirit Radio here, they have the presenters on. They'll mention that they're XYZ normally on Radio Nova or normally on Radio on Spirit Radio here at Christmas FM this year. So they get a name check for the station as well. So I think it's a win-win for everyone.
And you've got a lot of volunteers helping out with the running of the station and the kind of charity aspect to it, I guess.
Yeah, we've probably about 100 volunteers. There's about 100 people every year. We bring along a lot of new talent. We run radio courses through the year, and some of those people go on to an advanced course. And we kind of pick those, kind of, you know, the most suitable people to come on board. So there's a lot of people last year doing traffic and travel. Some of our overnight shows for the first time in radio, getting onto national radio. True. So we always try to bring true new talent. And we've also got lots of veteran presenters. We've got presenters here who've worked in radio for 30, 40 years. So we've a large mix of inexperienced and very experienced presenters. And people are doing so many things. I mean, there's a whole social media division here. So we've a whole division on not just on programming on air. There's volunteers behind the scenes doing lots of things for content on the website as well.
And you've decided to do a UK version this year. You're on DAB in a couple of different areas in South London and Surrey and in North Wales, Cheshire, Merseyside. Why did you decide to come to the UK?
I suppose like everything else, I mean, we were mainly radio guys. So, you know, we always kind of give an analogy years ago that some people do things for charity, like they run, you know, marathons or they climb mountains or do cake sales. We said, look, let's do a radio station. It's what we do. It's what we love. We want to bring the magic of Christmas to everyone. We know it's a massive listenership. Online, like I say, over 1 million streams in Ireland alone. I think it was 2 million worldwide last year in December alone. And a huge amount of those streams have come from the UK. We have a lot of listeners in offices in Leeds, in Glasgow, all over the UK, people listening. And we said, you know, we should bring this more, expand it more outside of Ireland. So we decided to do a Christmas FM UK. So it's not the Irish station being relayed into the UK. This is a UK station based in the UK, with UK presenters, same format as Christmas FM Ireland, but different content, obviously, for the UK market. So it's a standalone, separate radio station, as opposed to just a rebroadcast or restreaming.
And I guess that's mainly because of a regulatory perspective, is it? You couldn't physically put an Irish service onto a UK license.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two reasons for it, I suppose. One is obviously regulatory. Obviously, you need to be in the country you're broadcasting from, for example, in the UK. But secondly, it's because we feel that we want to do a UK station, you know, with UK content. I mean, as opposed to just streaming a station from Ireland into the UK. So we'll have a UK-based radio station, a Christmas-formatted radio station, purely Christmas, based on our 10 years' experience in programming that format. So it's not just about playing songs and lyrics, you know, and links. We're obviously doing a lot of content. There's a lot of content that goes in it. There's a lot of Christmas content, which makes the station unique compared to lots of other Christmas stations worldwide.
I mean, in the UK this year, we've got even more Christmas stations. We've got Heart Extra Christmas, Magic Christmas nationally.
Sure.
There's a variety of kind of local ones on local muxes, lots of them online. What do you think's different about Christmas FM that makes people want to listen to your station rather than one of the other services that are probably playing a lot of similar music?
Yeah, of course, there's going to be similarity, but I like to think that most stations have some sort of difference. You know, you have 10 Christmas stations on, but each one of those is going to be different in some way. Some might be hotter, some might be older, more kind of classic hits, more modern. We kind of take the view that the difference what we have is the content between the records. The content is the main difference. It's not just liners, jingles, and music. There's a lot of content in between. There's a lot of rich content our presenters bring, very experienced presenters who know how to do Christmas radio, different than other formats. It's a different kind of format because you're not just playing to one audience. Christmas radio, anyone who likes Christmas is our target market. So it's a very wide market, and you're kind of playing to that whole audience. You're talking to the various listeners. I know you're talking to one listener, one key listener, but we've a lot of different types of listeners listening for Christmas radio, from teenagers up to seniors, you know.
So where do you go from here? Are you kind of planning on having stations on FM or DAB across the whole of Europe in a few years' time?
Well, why not? you know, it's been asked. Exactly. So, for example, I mean, like we've been talking to a US company as well who wanted to do something similar with us in the USA. So, obviously, that's a much bigger market. But certainly in the UK, it's great to have a base in the UK. You know, we have a secret Santa grotto in the UK base, you know, at the back of the kind of, you know, the toy workshop there that Santa has. So we want to bring the magic of Christmas to the UK. It's a special time of year. We feel we deliver it differently than other stations. I suppose because we're, you know, the experience we have doing Christmas radio, and the fact we fundraise as well for charity as well, like Sightsavers this year as well, Sightsavers Ireland for the Irish station, Sightsavers UK for the UK station. We kind of bring something a bit different. Like our music is unique. For example, there's a lot of songs we play here that other stations don't play. We kind of champion certain songs. We always like to get a few songs that we play different. It's great having Shakin' Stevens, it's great having Wham, but there's a lot of other songs we play that a lot of other stations won't play, whether that's in the UK or the Irish market.
In the Irish market, because you exist, do the existing kind of mainstream stations play as much Christmas music, or do they leave it to you?
I think I've noticed, certainly in the last few years, more Christmas songs on some stations. I've also noticed them playing earlier. The rule, generally speaking, in radio in Ireland was always the 1st of December. You didn't play a Christmas song until the 1st of December. And we know the station's playing Christmas songs before that. So we've certainly brought things a bit earlier. And I think overall, you know, you look at the shops and things like that, a lot of people seem to be starting Christmas earlier. But we don't want to start too early. We want to save some magic as well. Because, again, bringing the magic of Christmas to people, we want to be special. We don't want to be on like for 3 months or 4 months, you know.
And it's a year-round job for you in the planning, is it?
Well, effectively it is. We have a whole team. We start planning in January. So you know, literally January is a wrap-up time from the year before. We do a debriefing, we kind of do all the reports, look at all the listenership, and kind of plan then for the following year. So it's kind of all year round, certainly almost full-time, and certainly from October you're talking about full-time. We've got about 4 or 5 people fairly much all year round working the station, and then about 100 people into November, December. That's before we add in UK, because obviously we have a whole team of people for the UK as well.
I was going to say, you've added in a team of people from the UK. Who've you got involved in the UK side?
Yeah, so Darryl Sullivan, my colleague, he's looking after the UK and other things. He's looking after the programming of the UK and the kind of running of the UK operation. So he's kind of heading up things for the UK as kind of program director for the UK Christmas Event UK. So there's some well-known industry people obviously involved. And again, at christmasevent.com, you can see all the presenters for the UK station and the Irish station.
Well, we wish you lots of luck with it, Garvin, and Merry Christmas to you and to everybody involved.
Thank you, Stuart. Happy Christmas.
Hey, I'm Josh Collins.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mark Gale.
Hi, I'm Amber Stone.
Hi, I'm Stephen Daly.
I'm Sarah Hughes.
Hi, I'm Matt Shields.
I'm James Martin.
Hello, I'm Graham Torrington, and we're all available for your station today via voicetrackerhub.com.
Need a last-minute show covered? Or have a regular weekend show going?
CHR.
Hot AC.
Gold.
We've got you covered with top-class talent from around the world.
Search according to format and budget and contact presenters directly.
Find your remote radio talent today.
VoiceTrackerHub.com.
It is the Radio Today programme. Coming up, David Lloyd's Radio Moments. First, let's find out what's going on this week across the industry.
Indeed, thank you, Stuart. Claire Balding is leaving Good Morning Sunday on BBC Radio 2 after 5 years on the programme. She joined the station in January 2013, replacing Alid Jones, and she made the announcement on her programme last week. In the short term, Good Morning Sunday will be hosted by Angie Greaves, and a new schedule will be announced soon by BBC Radio 2. Over at 5 Live, Emma Barnett is going 4 days a week as Adrian Childs moves to 1 day a week on the mid-morning show. The Emma Barnett show will air Monday to Thursday, 10 till 1, and Adrian will do Fridays. In addition, Adrian's taking over the Question Time Extra Time show on a Thursday night, replacing Stephen Nolan, who is thought to be starting a new podcast about politics, but he will continue doing his 3 weekend shows. And Tony Blackburn was named as the gold winner at the Audio Production Awards 2017. The radio presenter got the Top Producer Award of the night, whilst TBI Media's Phil Critchlow was given a Lifetime Achievement Award. Well done to all the winners on the night. There's a full list, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk. And that's the latest radio industry news. I'm Roy Martin.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phonebox from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments, David Lloyd.
Recently, Radio 1 and Radio 2 shared some programming thanks to the 50th anniversary celebrations, but it's strange to think that they used to share a great deal of daytime programmes until this week in 1977.
Well, a little bit later on in the year, the BBC, which is now flushed with pride and a little bit of money, will be splitting the networks, which means that we'll be getting a different programme in the afternoon on Radio 1 from the programme on Radio 2. Now, whether or not this particular show you will be able to hear on Radio 1 or Radio 2, you will have to wait for that to be announced.
But and some of you will be very, everything very was going very well until one day Derek Chinnery, who was the controller of Radio 1, said to me, we've got the money back now and we can restore a separate programme on Radio 2. And you've done such a good job of it that you'll be going to Radio 2. So at the time, I didn't want to be at Radio 2 because Radio 2 was not the station it is today. And I was very disappointed. I was doing lots of gigs, discos around the country, and I thought, well, this is all dependent on me doing Top of the Pops and Radio 1.
Presenters never change, do they? David Hamilton lamenting being lumbered with Radio 2 afternoons 40 years ago. David went on to appear on a station which launched this week in 88.
David Hamilton, a little gold nugget on 1548 AM.
That's me, folks. Good morning and welcome to the David Hamilton Music Show on Capital Gold.
Hello, Kenny Everett here. Why do I like working at Capital Gold? Because I just love the music. Every afternoon I get to play tons of the most fabulous tunes in the world. It's just great. So, London, tune your radios in to 1548 AM and give us a whirl.
We got Keith Skews on the phone. Hello, Keith.
Kenny, how are you?
You sound like you're on Mars, but never mind.
I turned left at Mars, but I'm still here, just about, receiving you loud and clear up here.
Jolly good. Well, where are you, by the way?
Well, I'm... Do you know the M1?
Yes.
Well, I'm nowhere near that, but right. I'm very, very near Sheffield.
Crikey.
It's a jolly good place to come from.
Yes. Is that where you're broadcasting these days?
No, I'm of no fixed abode, as they tell the police officer. No, I'm just freelancing from A to B to C to D... And hopefully one day.
X, Y, Z.
Yes, indeed.
And you've got a book out called Pop Goes the Pirates, I believe.
Have I?
I think so, yes. Last time I looked, yeah.
Has somebody been giving you tough information?
No, we've been plugging you for the last 4 days. Don't tell me you haven't written it.
Kenny on Capital Gold, now Gold, which launched this week in 1988. And many of the UK oldies stations influenced by that pirate sound. Well, as ad breaks begin to fill out for Christmas, let's remember a move described as brave 12 years ago. GCAP Media, then one of the biggest players in commercial radio, announced a plan to halve the number of ads on London's capital. Ralph Bernard was in charge.
You could look at it now and say, well, it was a flawed policy, but it was the only thing that we could think of at the time when we had no other weapons to protect the cost per thousand. And I genuinely believe, had we not done that, then, you know, the revenue would have fallen off a cliff. And as it happened, it did protect the cost per thousand.
Ralph Bernard reflecting on halving the ads on Capital this week in 2005. What more could one say about Alan Freeman? We lost him 11 years ago this week.
On the Uni label then, came from Kansas Hook. It was called Echo Park. I had a feeling that it was going to break through at one stage. It got plenty of plugging, but never quite took off. A magnificent arrangement. And the fellas, I don't think I heard of them again, but I look forward to 1970. Because that's what I feel is the content for a really big hit. We've had some rather interesting penetration in the top 20 this year, a very different material away from the ya-ya-ya and d-d-d and you-know-what. And this is what hits are made of, I think. Kansas Hook, more in 71, and a lot more like that. And...
Fluff Freeman telling of his hopes for music in the 1970s. So, with the end of The Voice of Peace 24 years ago...
From somewhere in the Mediterranean.
The launch of Northants 96, which had been part of Hereward 31 years ago...
Providing you with a new radio service that you can really enjoy.
I like listening to local news, as long as it doesn't get too boring.
No wonder Hereward gave up with cheery listeners like that. And the first local digital multiplex licence advertised by the Radio Authority, which was for Birmingham 19 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and thanks to my guest, Garvin Rigby, this week, talking about Christmas FM. Trevor Dan is back next week. It's his monthly round table. Join him for that. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.